You are listening to the Racing TV podcast On The Wire in association with Bar One Racing.
Welcome along to episode 3 of On The Wire. Not only this week do we have our regular guest, Brendan Jukey Duke, we also have Peter the King Kingston. And Peter, I must ask you, just before we start, what incentives are there for punters out there to get involved in getting a Bar One account?
Yeah, well, if you've opened an account and deposited bet of 10 euros or more at evens or greater, you're going to get a 30 euro free bet. But just for that new audience that don't know much about Bar One Racing, we're one of Ireland's leading independent bookmakers, founded in the 90s by company director Barney O'Hare. There's over 300 people employed. We're now online with bar1racing.com in Ireland, hopefully in the UK soon. We'll let all the listeners know. We have 56 shops, betting shops all around Ireland, including a shop at Dundalk Stadium. We're on course at Dundalk, Navan, Ferryhouse this weekend, Galway, Listowel, Down Patrick and Down Royal, and we also have an excellent telebetting service. So look out for us there. There's extra places most days. There'll be extra places on dock on Friday night. Price boosts in shops at one meeting in UK or Irish meeting every day during December. And we have our famous double the odds first goal scorer special. So check out bar1racing.com.
Also, thanks to everyone who did listen in the 2 weeks so far. And do remember to subscribe to this channel so that you will be reminded of all future episodes. You're not going to miss one. And how are we, lads?
Very good, thanks, Johnny.
Jukey.
Thanks, Johnny. Yeah.
You were at the Racing Post Christmas party last night and were accordingly late for an 11 o'clock engagement this morning.
Yes, no excuse. Poor show. Punctuality is the humility of kings and dukes, indeed. So I profuse apologies. But the listeners won't know any different. They can tune in anytime they want.
And Peter, you were making the point that Jukey's trip to Poland was actually very costly for us all.
Yeah, podcast listeners may have a little worry about the three-year-old hurdler on Sunday, the very impressive Clemencia, 25-8.
Right, yeah. So I should say I did talk to him on the...
This is your father.
I did talk to my father on the Saturday, and he said to me, this has a right chance tomorrow. The only thing is, if I told the listeners about all the horses, he told me had a right chance tomorrow. Now, when we were talking earlier, I was thinking, this isn't the worst strategy in the world in terms of hiding in plain sight. If you were a gambling yard, I put it to you, Johnny Ward, maybe the best thing is to fancy them all.
Yeah.
And then when the stewards pull you in and say, what do you say? Well, look.
I mean, what about the other 69?
Yeah. I told you, I fancy them all. So I don't know. I think we should just have, if my dad has a runner, it's almost certainly fancied. And someone did really fancy it, though. I mean, 25 states, I know there was an each way angle to it or what have you. And I mean, they got it spectacularly right. What a round of jump he put in.
The sky's the limit, EJ O'Grady for this horse, Peter. How far can we go? Triumph Hurdle here, maybe.
In the aftermath, the quote was a Triumph Hurdle horse. This was not a surprise. 40-1 for the Triumph at Bar One Race.
Happy days. Okay, well, a horse that probably will go to Cheltenham is Min, who was the star of the show, arguably, last weekend in winning the big race. And out of his victory with presenting Percy third in a very, very good renewal of the John Durkin, William Mullen spoke to Gary O'Brien of Racing TV.
Min got a very hard race there today, so I hope I don't have to run him in, or don't want to run him really in Leopardstown. We'll wait and give him a break. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I guess it'll be a case of see how he comes out of it before you make any plans with it.
Yeah, it will, but it usually doesn't work in here. Hmm.
Yeah. And is that his optimum trip? Do you feel he looks so good at times over 2.5 at Aintree and winning this race last year? Does that suit him best?
It would look like that, but he can go back to 2 miles and maybe even go a little bit further than 2.5. On a flat track, I'd say he could probably do 3 miles. He looked very good in entry, but I thought what he did today was really good in that weather, in that wind, and making those type of mistakes where you take off too early and haven't the impetus to get over the fence. They upset a horse's confidence, and you could see it in his jumping too. A horse that's usually very slick, the next two or three fences after he made those mistakes, you know, he was going in and being very careful. And then when Paul really sent him at the last, he put in a huge jump. Just looking at a few of the still photographs Caroline Norris has of him, you know, it just shows what effort he put in at the last and galloped away from the back of it.
Open an account with bar1racing.com and receive a €30 or £30 free bet when you have a bet of €10 or £10 at evens or greater. T's and C's apply.
What do you make of it, lads? Juki, I put up Present Percy each way. You put up Min. We were both right in ways, but I didn't expect Present Percy to go off the price he did. Min rallied very well from the second last, albeit probably beat a soft enough finisher as well.
Yeah, what do you make of Hardline? He's something of an enigma. I think we'd have to oppose Hardline again the next day. That was a massive effort, though. Min, is he getting a little bit cute as he gets older? He pricked his owl ears. I think he was value for more than the winning margin.
I liked the way he finished, Peter, and obviously Presenting Percy, you know, he wouldn't have a grave record at the track. He was desperately weak in the betting, a bit like Juki's dad. The season's been a bit of a lean one for Pat Kelly. I thought it was a nice one.
Yeah, I thought Min was allowed dictated a steady enough gallop. Really stood off the sixth fence and kind of lucky to get away with it. Surprised Paul Townend. But yeah, battled well and he's an excellent two-miler. 11-1 now for the champion chase. Voidarev was the one that caught my eye. Got a really bad mistake at the third fence. And all in all, only beaten six lengths in the finish. I think that could be overpriced in some of the Christmas or bigger races going forward. As you say, Presenting Percy, I thought, ran very well off a slow gallop for 2 mile forward. Going to be a big player over further.
What was your take from the weekend?
Well, Presenting Percy, again, I don't understand really, because we had listened to Philip Reynolds saying he'd been in since August, so I don't really understand where the drift came from, but he wasn't knocked about finishing third. The dream's still alive for you, Johnny?
Dream's still alive, yeah, and there were plenty of dreamers at the HRI Awards during the week. Plenty of characters there. Free booze is always dangerous. I was sat beside Jim Bulger, so there was no free. It was lovely though. The woman with the wine, she kept insisting on asking, "Would you like some wine, sir?" Yeah. No. "Would you like some wine, sir?" No. So by the third or fourth time, by which the rest of the table had gleefully accepted, Jim Bulger was still refusing wine. One man who did have some wine was Eddie O'Leary, it would appear, because he was particularly open in an interview. We're going to play the first part of it now.
Eddie, a special night now, in fairness, Tiger Roll honoured, a horse by authorised, a Derby winner, wins a Triumph Hurdle, wins cross-country chases, wins Boyne Hurdles, wins two Grand Nationals, and is he up for a third next year, do you think?
Well, hopefully, yes, sir, which that's the lap of the gods.
Is it worrying at the moment, obviously, with the Checker campaign that he's had?
Well, he hasn't had a campaign, that might have checked one. He has an injury, he's responded well so far, but it's a long road.
Does the cusp of history kind of energise you, the fact that to have a horse to win three Grand Nationals and you could own that horse with Michael and a horse of such public affection as well?
It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to be associated with such a horse as him. Trained by a genius and ridden by a genius.
You said that tonight as well, and yourself and Davey, you've had that year where there was all this chat about this and that. That probably annoyed you a bit as well, that why isn't Davey getting the rides, and you said you've it all sorted out. What actually happened? The exclusive from Eddie O'Leary?
There's no exclusive. There's like... We've no retained jockeys. Davey wasn't being used. He's used the horse to suit him.
So what horse to suit him? Does any horse not suit Davey Russell?
Yeah.
I don't even want to know what that horse is. To be fair, the retained jockeys thing, was that a mistake to have retained jockey in the first place? Did you need a retained jockey? Top jockeys at all these yards.
I'd say the way it, as we were growing, we needed a retained jockey to get the good man on the big day. As it got bigger and bigger, the job was bigger than one man. And in having a guy having 4 or 5 to pick from a certain race, it was hard to, if he got it right, he was killing himself. So it actually worked far, far better for us having no retained jockey and have a panel of jockeys that we do have, as in Sean, Rachel, Davey, Jack, and even like Dunham Myler. Like, there's a bunch of lads right for us.
You mentioned Keith Donoghue tonight as well.
Yeah, Keith is a massive, massive part of playing all this. Like, without Keith Donoghue, without Gordon One, there wouldn't be a Tiger Roll. Without Keith, it certainly wouldn't be a Tiger Roll. And without the cross-country discipline, it certainly would not be a Tiger Roll, because he was gone at the game.
That's very interesting to say that, actually, because people will knock the cross-country discipline.
Well, there is a push to have to make this Mayor's Hurdle, or the Mayor's Chase in Cheltenham, and drop one race. Well, and I heard someone say this, drop the cross-country. Without cross-country, it would not be a Tiger Roll. And it's where the game started. It sweetens all horses up. Like, there's a glaringly obvious race to scrap at Cheltenham, that's the Bumper.
Yeah.
The Bumper's a flat race.
You are a big fan of the Cheltenham Bumper, of course.
Absolutely hate it. Yeah. I see more good horses ruined. I know, yes, they'll say 3 or 4 champions won it. They won it the second year. But I see more good horses ruined in that race.
You still run a lot of horses in Bumpers as well, but the Cheltenham Bumper itself, it's a test maybe that doesn't suit a horse, an embryo chaser or an embryo hurdler.
It does. Like, you can win Bumpers, as luckily we won a few Bumpers. Win Bumpers away, it's very good for young horses for their education. But when you see that, when you go the rattling, and maybe it might be improved if it was amateur riders, when you put professional jockeys up in these bumpers and you see good horses getting frightened. Babies, only babies.
Right, his comments about the cross-country race, quite interesting, considering that it's revived Tiger Roll. What do you make of it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd like to have a pen and cross off about seven races at Cheltenham, never mind one, but I'd certainly lose the bumper. I'd lose the cross-country as well. I mean, sweetening horses up. So you can run them anyway. There's plenty of them in Punchestown or what have you. If it's going to sweeten them up, just run them in those. There's far too many races in Cheltenham, but that's a tale for another day.
And the Davy Russell thing, Peter, what do you make of that? Is not all horses suit Davy Russell.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that. Davy Russell certainly at the weekend was seen to good effect last Thursday in Clonmel, getting the stare up, the storyteller, and then Festival Dex judging the pace correctly in Navan. I don't see an issue, but he does make a good point about maybe it's not a job for one jockey. They're too big. Using numerous jockeys makes sense.
Here's the second part of that interview with Eddie.
Weber Sandwich was a fantastic horse. Like, he won the RSA by 9 lengths. What did he beat?
Yeah, that was a proper golden generation.
What did he beat?
He beat, was it Villelmar in those days? No. 5 for 3? No. But that was when he won his...
He beat him 9 lengths hard held in the RSA and never ran again. What did he beat?
You'll have to tell me.
Long run.
Doing who was Long Run?
He won the next 2 Gold Cups.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Tell me about...
That shows how good Weapons Amnesty was.
He's never not entertaining, Juki. Weapons Amnesty wouldn't have been a short price for if you were to ask his favourite horse. What do you think his favourite horse is, or is it genuinely Weapons Amnesty?
Well, he sounded pretty genuine. He's a very, very, very straight fella, it seems. I was a little bit surprised. I thought it might be Don Cossack, but maybe that's because he's my favourite Gigginstown horse.
Ah, yeah, the Don. We'll give you a little feature. The Don is going to feature in the show very shortly, but...
I saw him actually in the racehorses to riding horses in the RDS.
Lovely. Oh, beautiful horse.
Magnificent specimen.
Gigginstown or JP McManus, who do you prefer for the game, Peter?
Gigginstown, I suppose. Great for a yardstick when you're trying to assess a race and one runs well back in second, beating 10 lengths.
Right, before we go to the Golden Oldie, let's just briefly talk Friday and Saturday's racing. I was seated beside Jim Bulger, as I mentioned, Friday night. Assurance of Philly by Teofilo. Only Jim Bulger would start this horse off in the Moyglare, first time out. Why not? Ran a lovely race. Probably a little bit disappointing that she couldn't do the job in a filly's maiden, considering she got out in front at Dundalk 22 days ago. I expect she'll do the job in 5:45. The King, though, you've something far, far more interesting.
I don't know about that, Johnny, but Plum Perfect would be the nap. In the 6:15 at Dundalk of Tracy Collins, 65 rated filly, went up £4 for being an unlucky second to Wat Arm here over course and distance last time out. Couldn't get a run, 2 down when cruising. Eventually got a gap on the inside of the furlong pole when all too late. I'd be confident in the bottom grade she can get off the mark.
So let's move on to Saturday then at Fairy House. You've done a little bit of study, the two of you here. You had a nice eye catcher, Peter, that you wanted to mention throughout this card at Fairy House, which starts at 11:55. And we would just advise all listeners to gamble responsibly this weekend and, of course, every weekend.
Drumcona Girl was a mare who came on my radar when... ought to have won her maiden at Downpatrick at the end of September. But then at Down Royal at the festival there, walked in 5 or 6 lengths last in a 3 mile handicap hurdle. Travelled really well into third at the top of the hill, 4 furlongs out. And right, faded then. But now running off 86, was placed in the bumper for James Lamb. I think in the 2 mile 7 handicap hurdle on Saturday in Fairy House can play a part, possibly at a big price.
Dukie, what do you like at Fairy House?
Well, I'm very interested in this weekend because you know that this theory where if you replace a manager in soccer, you try to give him a handy run of fixtures to get him a running start or what have you. Now, yes. I don't know whether it was by accident or design, Johnny Ward, but it was masterful management by you to start this podcast with two sensational weekends of racing. But can we titillate the listeners for stuff that isn't great this week?
This is not bad. I'm going to, before we get to Navan on Sunday, it's not bad. Like Dundalk, Dundalk is alluring as ever. Not a bad card on the Saturday either.
Okay. Well, you're talking about a good game. So Bapome, we kick off at 11:55 with Bapome.
Early start. I backed Bapome, did my brains the same day. I backed Bapome on his Chase Sabio behind a good horse in Pump Road. Spoke to Matthew Smith, actually, over a cigarette at the awards, and he's still very, very hopeful for Pump Road. But Bapome, I was happy the whole way, stopped to nothing. What happened?
Well, this is it. I don't know. He could not have jumped better, could he? You were counting it. I mean, the Ronald pump, as you say, but I didn't notice him until I went back and watched the replay. But Bapoma, and they said he got very tired from the back of the second last, which was true. I really thought he had a physical issue. Now, he doesn't win many races, this horse, but that's because of the competition he keeps. It's just hard to believe that a horse who's a 160 horse over hurdles, jumps as well as he can, can't take care of business in a beginner's chase. I think he'll be winning.
It's time for Navin. It's been a cold, cold week in Ireland, and I can only guess it's going to be very cold. And Dundalk or Navin, Peter? What's the colder racetrack? The two coldest in the country?
Navin.
Navin. Fair enough call. Before we get to Navin, which ends with a bumper on Sunday, this bumper's cast of previous winners includes a certain horse that we've already mentioned today.
Here's the second last, up towards it now. Don Cossack in tight, got away with it. Jacques Adam got in close as well. Three lengths to find. 10 lengths away back in third, then it's Don Poli. But here's the final fence now for Don Cossack. Comes towards it, measured it beautifully. Jacques Adam is not going down without a fight. But Don Cossack is four lengths clear as they race on up the hill in the Tomiko Cheltenham Gold Cup. And Don Cossack for Jigginstown and Gordon Elliott and Brian Cooper will win the Tomiko Cheltenham Gold Cup 2016. Jacques Adam second for the second year running. Don Poli third. Calling for Lock Press for fourth. Ed.
Visit bar1racing.com for best odds guaranteed and extra places every day on UK and Irish horse racing. Extra places every week on major golf events and double the odds first goal score on selected football matches. T's and C's apply. Bar1racing.com, where the customer is number one.
I think this is going to be an absolute cracker of a card, Juki. What has taken your fancy in terms of, you know, we're talking pre-declaration here, but some seriously exciting entries from the Elliott Yard, among others.
Yes, well, Andy Dufresne. So Andy Dufresne is it.
Get you out of jail and so on. Well, so many puns.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was trying
Hope is a wonderful thing.
Well, I was trying to work out what they were going to do with them based on previous evidence. So we
tried to get Frank Berry on the show this week, obviously, but we'll just have to get him again.
Yeah, but well, he ran... I was just going with Gordon, but he ran Deffy Bleu in this last year, and then he went and ran in the Limerick race over Christmas. So I was thinking maybe he could run Andy Dufresne here, run Fury Road in Limerick, and then send Andy Dufresne for the Lawlers race in Naas. So I think he will show up on Sunday. If he does, no mug this Elixir Danae. That's some proper form from Naas beating Longhouse Poet. And you're inclined to think he'd be second string. Almost certainly he'd be second string behind the exciting Andy Dufresne. If you'd be getting some sort of a price, I'd nearly chance Elixir to turn him over. He loved the stamina test in Navin and would be getting some sort of prize.
What have you made of the card, Peter?
Yeah, no, Navin's interesting. The first race, of course, we could have Willie Mullins represented by either Colreevy or Blackbow, which both had excellent bumper form. In the grade two, the half 12, Andy Dufresne or Elixir Danae would be my choice, whichever one of the JP runs. Obviously, Gordon Elliott has six of the nine entries. I wouldn't expect a few of these to show after having run recently Abracadabra, Easy Work. I suppose Fury Road had a very easy task there in Navin not so long ago.
25's on.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
I think he's very good. It's just a question of what they plan with him. And it's a card that's laden with quality as well. Did Anthony else take your fancy, lads?
Well, the 235, there's an interesting horse, Manella Till Dawn. So you might remember this as a promising novice hurdler who was all set to give Albion Photo a good race when coming down at the last in Fairy House. Now, they're careers have diverged somewhat since then. So he went novice chase and that didn't really work out. Then he was off for 18 months, but he comes back off a mark of 116, finishes a not knocked about third at 20-1. Obviously, not a lot expected. A race that's starting to work out and I think will continue to work out. So he gets in off the same mark on Sunday. The bounce is obviously a bit of a worry, but he wasn't knocked about in the race. He's had a month off. He's got to be able to do a bit of damage off 116 this horse.
The King?
In the Tara handicap hurdle, the 2.5 mile handicap hurdle, some very interesting entries, including Mengli Khan, of course, Chaser, but third in the
God,
Supreme.
God, he's a frustrating horse. Mm. That's the 1 o'clock.
But classy, third in the Supreme to Somerville Boy, only 6-year-old, you'd think maybe even around longer. 148 mightn't be unsurmountable. Dropped the anchors up £8, but his form was since boosted by Shoot Time, a winner in Cork on Sunday last. But Drumacoo is the one I like. Michael Horrigan stable, 10-year-old, but likely enough race for a 10-year-old, had three different 300-day absences, I'm sure, to injury. in its career. Travelled supremely well at Ferryhouse at the end of November. Made a complete hash of the last. This is a step up in class, but a moral winner without a penalty. Drumacou was the one I liked.
Dolciano Dici is an interesting one in that race. Let's just get Kevin O'Ryan of Racing TV fame. Let's get his nap of the weekend.
I fancy Plum Perfect of Tracy Collins is in the 6:15 tomorrow night. I think it'll be hard to beat. For the reasons being, it's only its second run in a handicap. It was very unlucky the last day. Another stride would have been up to beat What Harm of Pat Flynn's in an apprentice race. Met trouble in running. I think tomorrow will be very hard to beat.
It's time for your own naps, lads. I'm going to go Juki with the horse at Dundalk. I think if Jim Bulger can get this filly to progress a little bit from her second start, considering that he thought enough for her to start off, I suppose, in a maiden of the quality that he did, a good daughter of Teofilo in Assurance in the 5:45. Juki, what's your nap?
Yes, I'll have to stick with that Manila Till Dawn, 2:35, Navin on Sunday.
And the King?
Plum Perfect. Hopefully is ripe in the 6:15 Dundalk on Friday.
We're nearly finished, but first of all, it's the joy of six, and this week features a well-known rugby personality, Bernard Jackman.
The change I'd love to see with racing is a floodlit track in Dublin, where we could go on a Wednesday or Thursday night and watch some racing live. My favourite horse ever was Rock of Gibraltar. A friend of mine worked for Aidan O'Brien at the time, so I got to see him work and followed his career. I loved the way he knew how to get his head in front. The horse I'd look out for next season is Albigna, the Jessica Harrington filly. I think she could turn out to be a classic filly. Best bet I ever had was Moscow Flyer winning its first champion chase. Got a connection in the yard and it was well fancied and did the business. The rugby bet I like at the moment is Saracens to win the Champions Cup at 8-1. Leinster are worthy favourites, but if Saracens qualify out of the group, I think they've a cracking chance of winning it. My favourite race course is definitely Punchestown. For people around where I grew up, Tullow, that was the big festival of the year. And then when I went to school in Newbridge again, it was a focus point for everybody in terms of great national racing, and I've continued to support it ever since.
He had some interesting ones there. The Rock of Gibraltar Juki was a horse I was a massive fan of. I think the only time I backed him was the time he was beaten when Landseer broke down in front of him in the Breeders' Cup. But the boy Jackman, he knows his onions, doesn't he?
Well, he's well connected as well. Has a friend in Aidan O'Brien's, a friend in Jessica Harrington's. They're the kind of friends you want to have.
And as well, you were mentioning that at Bar One, of course, they laid a few bob on Munster against the Saris there at the weekend, because we didn't know who Munster or what Saris team was going to be out there. You were saying as well, the King, that the Saris against Munster, you laid a few bob on Munster last weekend.
Yeah, what I like about Bernard Jackman there, he's not he's not bowed by recency bias. He likes Saracens overall in the tournament, so he discounts that. Yeah, they're showing a bit of, I like that.
Before we wrap up, where are you going to be in the Christmas festival season, lads? Are we going to be in Leopardstown?
Yes, I'll be in Leopardstown, assuming the weather isn't diabolical. I'll be there all 4 days.
And the King?
Leopardstown, whatever day I have off, surely, yeah.
Yeah, there's talk of our podcast coming from Leopardstown on the 27th, so stick tuned for that, and we hope you enjoyed episode 3.
Thank you for listening to On The Wire in association with Bar One Racing.